Joining us in studio, in 1969, he played a TV character that's followed him for 50 years. I didn't want to play the whole theme for you. HGTV's A Very Brady Renovation, huge hit, and who knew he could fix houses? Let's welcome in the studio. It's Chris Knight. It's good to see you, man.
If they could only fix me.
Yeah, thank you.
You could actually, I mean, we talked on the phone when this debuted, but as I watched, you know how to fix stuff.
You know, I've built a few. Yeah, I don't necessarily take it from its foundation to its finished product. I point at things and tell others what to do.
Okay.
I mean, I can swing a hammer. I just prefer to work a different job.
Okay.
On the site.
Yes, you don't want to do the hard work. But the HGTV show was a huge hit for you guys. You were everywhere.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, the time is ripe, Brady. There seems to be always a cycle, like a 9-year cycle for Brady, like Brady digestion. We're ready for it again after 9 years. And particularly since it's like we're like a warm blankie. Mm-hmm. When things get a little turbulent and upside down, you know, bring in the Bradys to make us feel better.
That is,
you know,
true.
Like an old slipper.
That is true. You are my favorite Brady, by the way.
Thank
and
you.
The most successful, I have to say.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. I'm not sure what scale you're weighing that under, but...
Well, can we run through the family real quick? Barry,
sure.
Who played Greg, is kind of a hustler. He'll do anything, right?
You know, hustlers are probably, you know... Artful hustler. Yeah, he hustles
is.
Brady, and always has.
Yeah,
he turned it into an art form.
Maureen, who plays,
but Barry's a good friend, and he is right. a really charming, nice gentleman. So I give him props.
Maureen, who plays Marcia, just love her, follow her on Instagram.
Everybody's
just a likable
first
person.
Crush.
Yeah. Everybody's crush. She still looks great.
She does look great. She
yes.
takes very very good care of herself, and still plugging along, and still it works all the time. So
really,
yeah.
Eve, who played Jan, after watching the HGTV show, she seems like the mother hen of the group now. Am I wrong on that?
You know,
very conservative.
Actually, no, she did step out. I wouldn't say that she's. It's interesting because she's got these. She's conservative, but not conservative. I mean, she's very avant-garde, artistic.
Okay.
But conservative in her personal presentation. You're absolutely right about that.
Okay.
I don't think her... She's a very deep thinker. You know, she moved back to New York and chose to endeavor in theater.
Okay.
I mean, it is a better environment for actors. I mean, in that it's an actor's medium.
Sure. Immediate and, gratification right away. You got the audience in front of you.
And, you know, she wouldn't do Brady stuff. I mean, I've said yes to them all. She has said, she is, and she
you'll
has
like
said,
me, you'll do anything for money.
And she
I'm
has
okay
said no
that.
To them all.
Really?
And she and I are pretty close. But truly understanding what motivated that became very clear with doing the renovation.
You're close. You're both the middle children on the show. Is that
right.
Why you became close or just personalities?
You know, we're all close, but I respect Eve a great deal because she is her own person, and that gets big points with me.
Okay.
She's not trying to copy anybody, and she'll stand her ground. She's a very strong woman with an opinion. And again, that gets some points. And she doesn't suffer fools gladly. So I kind of feel like as long as I'm on her good side, I guess I can't be too foolish. You know, I gauge myself by
right.
virtue of the fact that I can call her a friend. But she doing the renovation show. The reason that this wasn't a problem to say yes to is because she didn't have to play Jan.
Right.
It's interesting because she's not. Where she's being herself.
Yeah.
And in her real life, she owns a number of properties and has renovated up to 10, I think, at this point. So she's big into flea markets and sort of old school. What do you call that? Collector stuff.
Collector stuff.
I'm into
antiques.
New.
Yeah.
I'm into if it's a technology.
Okay.
I mean, I remember going to a home that she'd put together, renovated out on Laguna Beach, and here was a stove from like, you know, the 30s. I'm thinking, I mean, all newly painted and all, looking like a car from the 30s that was well kept. But I'm thinking, I guess I'm not a car collector. I want the brand new Lexus.
Right, of course.
I want the Tesla that I got. You know, I want something new technology.
You want the new thing.
Yeah.
You played Peter Brady 50 years ago. And here we are talking about it.
Really?
50 years ago,
was
right?
Was that 50 years ago?
1969, like that, yeah. Right? 50 years ago? Am I doing my math correctly?
Yeah, no, you got it right.
50 years ago, and we're still talking about it today.
It's weird. I mean, television only has like a 75-year history.
Jeez, you're right.
Yeah.
You've been around forever.
At the time, it was like, you know, television started a long time ago, and now here we are. And now it's like, no, we've carried it through two-thirds of its life.
Right.
And reruns were just incredible for it. Yeah, you can see it anywhere.
Well, yeah, forever. It's never been off, so.
Well, before the show, Andy and I were talking, you know, going through a few things. And what did you say where you saw Chris Knight? Where did you see him?
Oh, I saw on That 70s Show.
The big kiss with Barry.
Exactly. Yeah, kissed Barry.
That was a lot of fun. You know,
kissing Barry? Did he shave that day?
The writing. Mm-hmm. Once you get some really clever writing, it's you know, our stuff was what it was, and it played very well for kids, but it would be hard, you know, to make a living or feeling fulfilled doing that sort of I can understand Bob's problem with the stuff he had to do. It was what it was, and you know, there's not a whole lot of nourishment there for a real actor.
Right. You're talking about Robert Reed,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Who didn't really, he was a dramatic actor, right?
Yeah, he was an Emmy nominated actor at that point, already off The Defenders. Matter of fact, he had had such a career that right after, the way that the genesis of the Bradys worked was that Robert Reed filled in for, or came in to Broadway to take over the role in Barefoot in the Park from Robert Redford, who had originated the role.
What?
And then
I didn't
know this. Neil Simon's becoming a huge thing mid-late 60s, and turning that show now into a series, bought by Paramount.
Okay.
And it was then, they were starring Robert Reed, penned him to be the lead in Barefoot in the Park as it goes to series. Now, at the last minute, they decide, and this is really, you know, progressive thinking back then, they decide to go African-American with the show and remove Bob from it. Now he's, has a contract with Paramount, and they got to find another show, or thinking they, where can we plug him? And then they plug him from a Neil Simon show into a Brady Bunch, a Sherwood Schwartz, you know, who did Gilligan's Island kind of show.
Right.
So right from the get-go, but then they throw a lot of money at him, more than he would have made in Barefoot in the Park, to make it palatable.
Okay.
And so, you know, he was a giant figure in our lives, protector, father figure.
Sure.
Role model. All the right stuff. Now, he might not have enjoyed doing the work that he was doing, we wouldn't have known. I didn't know about it, not at the time. Now we hear about it from stories that are told. But he was a wonderful, a wonderful person in my life. So, it's the work. I mean, Eve has the same issue. She has to play Jan again. You know, you can't play 8 years old your entire life.
I get it. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to check news, and we're going to talk some more. Okay, and you're going to introduce me to your beautiful wife here, who's from Chicago.
I will do that.
Who brought you in the studio here. Christopher Knight, you fell in love with him as Peter Brady. There's so much more to your life about the software stuff that I'm going to get to, too, when you got away from that and then came back to the Brady Bunch. So we all do the same thing. We love the Bradys. We break up with the Bradys. We come back to the Bradys. Yes.
Bradys is like background noise. It's like a ringing in the ears.
20 WGN in studio with us, Christopher Knight. You fell in love with him as Peter Brady. Do you remember when we met?
No.
I did a television story with you at Portillo's, and I feel like beef sandwiches bring people together. And when I get together with somebody...
In town here.
Yeah, in town.
It's coming back.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
When I get together with somebody, I always ask for their phone number, and you're like, how about my email? You wouldn't give me your number. And then finally, over the years, you finally passed it on. It's like, I don't know about that. Do you want to introduce this beautiful woman next to you from Chicago?
This is the beautiful Kara Knight. She grew up in
suburbs.
The western suburbs.
Western suburbs. Westmont, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Grew up in Westmont. Nice.
Luckily and surprisingly met her on a New Year's Eve in 2012?
Yeah.
2012.
Where did you guys meet?
11 to 12, right? At a friend's house. I was I was not wanting to be at home. I, you know, had gone through a divorce and was in the separated stage yet, hadn't, you know, really gone through completely. Wasn't expecting to meet anybody, and met Kara, who wasn't really into being met.
What does that mean?
It was perfect.
You weren't ready to meet anybody.
No.
And you're thinking in your head, I'm talking to Peter Brady. I don't want to make out with him. No, I just don't want to.
Well, she had.
I don't want to do this.
She probably had some preconceived notions that.
Yeah, I had no desire.
No. Yeah,
no,
that were a little bent.
Bent. Yeah.
What was his opening line? Hey, I know Barry Williams.
I think it was that. Yeah.
Can you sit on my other side? I can't hear through that ear. That's probably how she warmed up to me.
And you got married here in Chicago.
We did.
We did on the greatest, happiest day in Chicago's history. I mean, if you take the Chicago Fire as sort of a low day,
yeah.
Well, what's the highest day?
When the Bears won the Super Bowl
or
the Cubs.
That was a pretty high day, but the stress wasn't as great for the Bears. We had a sort of a winning tradition.
Okay.
Your other team.
Game 7?
That would have been a good. That would have been the beginning of it, but the celebration for it.
Oh,
the weekend of.
Okay,
so we got married November 5th, 2016, the day after the parade.
Oh wow!
But knowing that when they won it, I said to Carrie, "I go, there's going to be a parade, and it's probably going to be this weekend, and we're getting married on a boat,
okay,
to Sable Harbor, and we're going to have to get to it." Obviously, also trying to predict where they're going to have the parade.
Yeah. Michigan, right? I love that you're worried about traffic. Here's a guy from LA.
We got to get people to the boat,
yeah,
right?
You got to get people to your wedding.
Wedding day is a big planned day, you know, and things need to... I'm already worried about the weather, for crying out loud. While you're getting married, you know, in Lake Michigan in November. But it all worked out because great weather. And there was 5 million people the day before on the streets, and luckily they were gone by the next day, so we could get to the boat.
Oh, that's nice.
It's fabulous.
Out, yeah.
And the feeling in the town was just so warm and you know,
well, of
inviting.
Course. Yeah. Everybody was happy.
Everybody's in a good old mood.
Yeah.
You know, and then we had an election a couple weeks later, and everything changed.
I want to get to some of these text messages while you're here, because they're just pouring in. 630 area code, ask Chris if there was any off-screen romance with Alice and Sam on the Brady Bunch.
Hey, is that a question? Or are you going to ask that question? There was none.
None
that I know of. But then again, I'm like, you know, a 12-year-old. What am I going to know?
Andy Davis couldn't cook in real life, right?
She didn't cook.
Yeah.
Think about Anne. Anne was a consummate professional and a comedian, but she wasn't a comedian. And comedy was deadly serious for her. And she worked on a level that was very adult.
Okay.
Children kind of ran counter to that. I mean, there is an old saying in show business, you never, as an actor, you don't work with children or dogs.
Right.
Or animals
yeah.
Of any kind. Because they steal the scene. Because they don't really know what they're doing. And they don't have to. You know, they're just cute. So you have to work like hell to keep up with them.
Okay.
So just don't even compete with them. And she might have had that opinion of us coming on in. And ultimately, she was outnumbered by us. So, you know, we all learned a great deal about our craft from her. And I'm not sure how much we made her job harder by having, you know, the kind of fun and, you know, that kids have.
Right.
You know, that kid energy. I know that I was a little hyperactive and probably took it a little too far.
Do you ever want to punch Oliver in the neck? Cousin Oliver?
I had no problem with Oliver. I know Barry did.
Really?
Barry was tremendously offended that there was an Oliver. Somehow the equation was he was taking time from Barry being Johnny Bravo.
So the pie fight got a little serious in that episode?
Yeah.
A little more serious?
Probably.
We'll ask you about Tiger the dog when we come back. We have to
Please
check
do.
Weather. Christopher Knight is here with his wife, Kara.
Girl, look what you've done to me.
Come on, I had to play it.
I was a huge Monkees fan. Were you really? Yeah, who wouldn't have been, you know, back in the late 60s?
It's nice. Christopher Knight is here. You remember him as Peter Brady, also his wife, Kara, the pride of Westmont, Illinois. It's nice. Davy Jones, was that a big deal when he came on set at the Brady Bunch?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there were some, like Imogene Coco. I mean, I didn't know who Imogene was, you know. So there were some, stars. I mean, personally, for me, Deacon Jones.
Deacon Jones, you know, was a big deal.
Huge. Yes. Was huge, because I'm a homer and was a Rams fan. So,
by the way, Wes did you Parker, shake his hand? His hands were like two hands put together.
I'll show you an image I've got.
He came in the studio, late in his life, and his hands were humongous.
Huge. Just huge.
But that's when the day when they'd punch helmets, so his pinky would go sideways and one finger would go the other way.
But I was all for two or something at the time, so everybody's hand seemed to be
right,
a lot bigger than mine at the time, so I the appreciation for how much bigger his hands were from an adult perspective. But I remember having a handshake with Magic Johnson, same thing. I think his fingers were up to my elbow. Yeah. It's like, whoa, that's a big hand.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Favorite episode or favorite guest star?
Well, I mean, can't rule out Joe Namath or Don Drysdale. Oh, Wes Parker, the old first baseman for the Dodgers, was in
right
there once.
Yeah, so. The sports sort of centered kid. So those were bigger excitements to me. And what's interesting is the differences of the shows behind the scenes really drove a lot of your experience, or our experience. And on the Davy Jones episode, I didn't work much. So my interaction with Davy was limited because I was in school. Maureen had all the interactions.
Right. So you went to school when you didn't tape Brady Bunch.
Yeah, it wasn't like there was a window into the set as you're reading your book so you can watch what's going on. No, you're sort of sequestered offset and going to school.
815 area code, Christopher Knight. Even though Partridge Family and Brady Bunch seem trite to a seasoned actor, for kids like us, it gave us hope and insight to a different way of life.
Absolutely.
And fun.
And that's where it has to, that's the appreciation, the outpouring of love that I get all the time, and the recognition of its importance, because it really is, it's aspirational. After 50 years of this, it's almost like I'm a psychologist through being a Brady. But the reality is we work with kids that are latchkey, that have no family.
Right.
Right? We become surrogates. They're a member of our family. We're a member of their family. They're adopted in their mind. And we supply them family. And then at the same time, we work just as well with a family of 12 kids. Like, Colbert, had 11 kids in his family, and they were Brady fans because we sort of paralleled their life.
Right. So, I come from a family of 12 kids. It was the same thing. I would come home from school, and I would fold newspapers when they had an afternoon paper out. We'd watch the Brady Bunch, and then we'd go deliver papers.
And I have, personally, a really unique and strange relationship offset from the Braves. My mom hated it because she was an artist and it was sort of trite, so she has that opinion. And here I am with all these people that are giving me sort of a warm environment and appreciation and a validation and all these other things I'm not getting at home. At home was a disaster compared to this thing that we're portraying on television. And I'm thinking to my mom, like, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with having, really at the time, I didn't have the words to put together, but what's wrong with having a functional family? They do exist. And don't tell me they don't. And if they don't exist, they should exist. So I understand perfectly well what the power of the Brady.
Was there a time where you just wanted to put the Brady Bunch behind you and you didn't want anyone to bring it up?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was an epiphany at the end of that, and it didn't take too long, luckily, because I didn't have to drag along that anvil for too long. It was like you become a young man, and all of a sudden you want to move on to other things, and you got this thing you did as a kid that's dragging behind you, and you kind of want it to disappear.
I mentioned this earlier. You did the Brady Bunch, but you're the most successful Brady, okay, in real life. You went on to software, many startups. You made a lot of money.
Software and hardware.
Hardware, yes. HGTV, this was a huge hit. How do you capitalize on that and do another show for HGTV?
I don't know. It could be a unicorn. It's really hard to duplicate a show like this. I think that the way that it came together was a surprise for them. They bought a house before they had an idea on what the show would be surrounding that house. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way you produce a successful show. But in this particular case, they bought it. They had a meeting with us because they didn't really understand or know anything about Brady. They just asked to meet with us. And in meeting with us, I tell them that it was August of 2017. I go, we all know each other now. In 2 months, it'll be 50 years. And that was a year before, because we did the pilot in September of 68. So I said, next year is the 50th anniversary. And they looked at me like with these wide eyes, like
they're like, you're making the,
like they're trying not to be surprised, but they're like inside
in their eyes.
It's like, really? So they stumbled upon this. The timing of it worked out. And then just the attitude, just the general malaise out there and discomfort that people have with people. And the Bradys come along and they sort of make people okay and everything's going to be solved in, you know, half an hour.
Well, seeing the entire cast on the Today Show and how you all still get along from 50 years ago, it's just great. It makes us feel good.
Right. And that's, and you know, sometimes we lose sight of this until we're all back together. It was always a wonder to me, a question that always came is, do you see the others? But in doing this, the excitement that people had that we were all working together, it was something that we had to stop and take notice of. And what is that saying about what their view is of us? And that is, they want to see us together because they do. It's a continuation of the family, even though it wasn't real. There's hope in that for people. So we actually represent something tangible to a lot of millions of people.
God, this is deep. Yeah. You're right. Seriously. I mean, when you think about it, you do give us hope. The Brady Bunch gives people hope and happiness.
Yeah, it starts at home, but I think it goes beyond that. And I think people have, to some degrees, needed now.
Oh, boy.
Need somewhere to look.
Yes, definitely so. By the way, you and I have two things in common. You did an episode of Mannix.
And you raised pigeons. No.
How'd you know that?
I met Mannix. I had him on my show back in the day.
Mike Connors, yeah.
He was a stud.
He was.
Yeah.
He was, yeah.
And you and I both appeared on The Love Boat.
Really?
You appeared on the original one. I appeared on Love Boat The Next Wave. Robert Urich was the captain. They rebooted it, I want to say, in 2002. He's a Chicago guy.
I didn't know Urich was.
He came and he did my show, and I'm like, hey, I want to be on The Love Boat. I swear to you, 2 days later, his assistant called and he's like, we got everything booked. You're coming out to L.A.
It's nice to know people in the right places, right?
But they made me sign a waiver that said, you can't tell anyone that The Love Boat's not a boat. There was no boat. We were on set. Were you on a boat?
Well, you know, The Love Boat originally was on a boat as a way of advertising. And it was from Love Boat that cruising became a huge... It hadn't to that point been... It was something that rich people did, but not everybody.
Okay.
And it exposed people to what cruising was. And America found comfort in it after that.
But were you on an episode with Charo and Scott Baio? Look at your wife cracking up.
I've met Charo. Charo did our variety show.
What variety show? Oh, you had a Brady variety show?
Variety show. And she was
one of our guests. What year was that? 70 what?
There's a funny story, but I'm not sure I can talk about it. Yeah, so Charo was great. But no, Dana Plato was who I played against in my Love Boat.
Okay.
So.
Did you kiss her? It was probably a kissing scene. You're about the same age. I know she's passed away.
I would have remembered that. I don't think we did. Okay. Yeah.
Now, you guys are flying out. You have your luggage here. Thank you for coming by. So, Kara, when you're walking through Midway today, are you going to hear people scream out, Peter Brady? How often does that happen?
It does happen.
Wait. This happened downstairs.
Yeah, that happened downstairs.
Okay.
You do. He's no longer.
This is your, your security.
All right. What did he say?
I didn't give him my name.
Peter Brady.
I didn't give him that.
To get up in the building. They give you a sticker pass, and it says Peter Brady on it.
He types that in.
That is so funny. Let me take a picture of that. Put that on Instagram. That's awesome.
So Peter. That's sort of the subtlety. They don't yell it out, but they're thinking it.
Can I get a gift certificate for a Barca Lounger, Christopher Knight Barca Lounger? You're in furniture. How did that happen?
Barca Lounger's a brand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
You want a gift certificate.
Yeah.
We don't do those either.
Do you know furniture?
Yes, I do now, more so than when I began. But interestingly, my mom was an artist. My grandfather was in the fabrics industry. My dad, studied to be an architect when he had to build the sets at his college, and that's when he got introduced to acting. So he's the inverse of Mike Brady, an actor playing an architect. Right. He made all our own furniture. So that's where the building of the houses and stuff, comes from. My dad's a contractor. My brother's a contractor. Mom an artist. So, yeah, the whole aesthetic and stuff is sort of part of what I grew up with.
Okay.
And I never saw this coming, being in the furniture world, but it was presented to me by one of my high-tech business partners who himself found himself in that industry, invited me in to do something. And I thought, oh, we'll give it a shot, you know. You never know what sticks. And I thought he was crazy, and it stuck. And it stuck well. And it keeps doing well. I mean, see, the fact is, I like to say, people are still sitting down.
There you go. See, you're a forward thinker. I don't think Barry's doing this. And, you know, I'll just stick with the appearances. I know you love him.
I do.
Yes.
You know,
it's nice.
I sell him a chair.
Well, thank you for coming in. Before you go, I'm getting text messages here. Favorite episode that sticks out?
Well, Hawaii. For us, it's the experience of doing the show.
Not you got a free trip to Hawaii.
If I take that off, the experience part off, and I just watch it from an audience's perspective, the show,
volcano.
Well, I love any moment where I, you know, in person and watching, where I, you know, sort of get more I like to call it dirty, quite literally, in the volcano. Mm-hmm. You know, that or throwing the football, which they let me actually throw the football because the guy throwing it couldn't hit her nose, and I was particularly good at it,
right,
and still am.
Yes,
it's nice. Weird.
This is John Williams. He's taking over in 30 seconds. This is Chris Knight. Say hello to
John.
Chris.
Oh, I know
right
who
here.
This is.
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, the left-handed shake, too.
It's all downhill from here.
It is. It really is.